the sacrifice of the mass in reparation for abortion. Marches, counseling at abortion clinics, politicking, rescuing, letter writing, and other human activities promoted by Right to Life organizations are good and necessary. That abortion and its source, contraception, cannot be eliminated by human activity alone. Abortion and contraception are demonic activities which can only be eliminated by divine intervention. What is the best, the most effective way for mortal humans to storm heaven to accomplish this? Let's hear the answer from a master teacher. But for heaven's sake, do not just listen. Order Eternal Life's Masses to End Abortion brochures and buy extra audio tapes to get the message out.
Suppose we start with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of Mercy, pray for us. Abortion is the ultimate crime. Other crimes can be perpetrated for some profit or gain, but there is no gain in abortion except a lifetime of pathetic guilt. Other crimes can be provoked by some deadly passion, like lust or anger or revenge. But there is no real passion in abortion except an idolatrous self-love or human self-will. The killing of innocent unborn children goes back to the dawn of recorded history. In the Roman Empire, at the dawn of Christianity, there were no laws prohibiting abortion. On the contrary, there were laws positively not just legalizing, but we may say legislating abortion. The one effective control over the population was to allow the husband, or better, the father of a child, to impose the death penalty on his wife if she aborted a child without his permission. Every husband had the right to order his wife to abort if he did not want the child. The father, therefore, had a legal right to demand that his wife or concubine abort if he told her to, and Roman law backed him in insisting that his wife should abort an unborn child. There the matter stood until Christ came into the world. With his coming, his invitation to let the little children come to me took on a cosmic significance that world historians are only now beginning to recognize. My plan for this conference is first to say something about the crime of abortion. Then to talk at some length about reparation in general. And then specifically reparation through the sacrifice of the Mass. We begin then by observing that abortion, by any standards, is an abominable crime. A person's index of morality can be identified by where he or she stands on the practice of abortion. For those who really believe in Jesus Christ and are Catholic, not just in name, but in reality, abortion is what the Second Vatican Council describes it as, a detestable crime. It is a criminal attack not only on the innocent human beings who are ordered to be murdered in the mother's wombs. It is, and this needs to be especially underlined, it is especially a savage attack against the rights of God. God alone can create a human soul, which he does every time that a child is conceived. The father and mother provide the human body, but God himself must produce out of nothing the human soul, which he then infuses into the fertilized ovum at the moment of conception. Fertilization of the ovum, the creation of an immortal soul, both take place at the same time. Then the soul is infused into the body. And that is human conception. What makes abortion so criminal, therefore, is its cruelty against the unborn child, but also, and with emphasis, its flagrant violation of the most fundamental justice towards God. He alone may decide who is to be conceived and who is to be born. He alone has a right to determine how long an unborn child is to remain in the womb. He alone may determine how long that human life is to survive, first in the womb and then outside the womb. Who is to be born, when, under what circumstances? And why? Why does God alone have that right? Because he is master and lord of his rational creatures, whom he wants to glorify their Creator here on earth as a condition for their eternal beatitude in the world to come. Having said that, as Catholics, the next thought in our minds should be, how can reparation be made for this ocean of crime committed throughout the world in our day? Let's be sure we know what we say when we speak of reparation. Reparation is a voluntary expiation of sin. It is a practice of virtue, motivated by the desire to make up for the injustice and ingratitude against God committed by my own sins, and for our purpose, especially the sins of others. Given the definition we've just provided, that is why God became man. God became man that he might make reparation for the sins of the human race. God, the All-Holy One, took on a human nature, took on a body and a soul that could separate by death. The infinite God took on a human will so that as a man he might offer his human life to his heavenly Father and do so willingly. And the heart of reparation, therefore, is sacrifice. And the heart of reparation is either giving up what is present or undergoing and enduring what is painful. And there is one inspiration that we believers in the Incarnation should have. Faced with the cosmic crimes of abortion, it is to join Jesus Christ in making reparation for these abominable crimes, such, we believe, as have never in the history of the human race been committed, either in number or in gravity, ever before since the dawn of human history. Let's be clear, as Catholics, we believe that God did indeed, by his death on the cross, do his part in making reparation for the sins of mankind, and with emphasis for the sins of abortion. But, and this but is of the essence of the conference that I'm sharing with you, but as Catholics, we believe that what Christ did by his passion and death, we must unite our sufferings with his, so that we then may make reparation on our part, joining with his passion and death, which is reenacted, as we believe, in every sacrifice of the Mass. In other words, Christ did his part, but we must do ours. Otherwise, the reparation objectively will have been accomplished. The graces that a sin-laden world needs to return to its God, those graces have been merited. But those graces will be distributed. Those graces will be used. Those graces will be cooperated with only if people like ourselves who have the faith join our sacrifices with those of Jesus Christ in the sacrifice of the Mass. We go on. Reparation for abortion. As followers of Christ, we believe that God became man precisely to redeem us from sin by suffering and dying on the cross for our salvation. That's our faith. We further believe that Christ's death on Calvary won for mankind the title, underlined in my notes, the title to all the graces the human race needs to reach heaven. This includes the grace of forgiveness of our sins. But, I repeat, and this needs repetition, whenever I speak, certainly the United States, I never forget that I'm talking to Catholics that are being constantly exposed to Protestantism. We are Catholics. We believe, are these graces necessary? Necessary for salvation, have to be obtained from God through Christ in the way that Jesus Christ determined to confer his blessings on the sinful children of Adam and Eve. In other words, all this needs to be said. Christ's death on the cross is not enough to redeem the world. Christ died his death. We must also die our death. Among all the conditions determined by our Lord, none is more effective for obtaining divine mercy than the sacrifice of the Mass. They may say this is only to be expected in the Mass. It is the same identical Jesus who died on Calvary, who is now offering himself for us. Identical Jesus, really offering himself, but in an unbloody manner. Every Mass is literally a reenactment of Calvary. Jesus really and truly on the altar, made really present by the words of consecration of the priest. How happy I am to say that not a few of my Jesuit confreres have been martyred for daring to offer Mass, killed at the altar. As I was coming here, I noticed Calvin Presbyterian Church. Perfect. The Calvinists murdered not a few of my fellow Jesuits for blasphemously, as a Calvinist claimed, offering Mass, as though Christ's death on Calvary was not enough. They don't say that. Christ's death on Calvary was enough to merit the grace, but we must, I repeat, we must die our death. We must carry our cross. We must suffer in our lives for the graces of Calvary to be communicated. In the double consecration, Jesus tells us He is ready to die for us if He could. On the cross, His blood separated from His body, causing His death. Jesus bled to death. In the Mass, the separate consecration symbolizes His willingness to shed His blood for our salvation. But He is now immortal. He can no longer die. Yet, a most crucial yet, He would die if He could. He is willing to die. So much did He love us on Calvary, and so much does He love us now in our day. As defined by the Council of Trent, I quote, "The sacrifice of the Mass is offered for sins, in punishment for sins, and for reparation." The sacrifice of the Mass does not remove the guilt of sins immediately by conferring the grace of repentance, as happens in the sacraments of baptism and penance. Rather, and this is what this conference is all about, that through the Mass, the abortionists, both their victims and those behind the crimes, might be converted, turn to God, and obtain the grace of repentance. How they might be enlightened to recognize their sinful state and be inspired to return to the God from whom they have strayed. We go on. The graces of repentance for abortionists. By abortionists, I here mean everyone who in any way is responsible for the murder of an unborn human being. By the grace of repentance, I mean the light and strength that abortionists need to be reconciled with a deeply offended God. First, they need light for the mind. I think I'll anticipate what I want to say later on. I believe the cosmic crime of abortion, the lowest United Nations figure, is 65 million legalize abortions every year throughout the world, the lowest statistical figure. I believe you may be surprised at my judgment. I believe Catholics are in large measure before God responsible. God, forgive me if I'm wrong, are responsible for not having obtained from God the mercy of repentance for these criminals. What do they first need? They need light for the mind. All sin is all virtue. Finally, it depends on the will. The crime of abortion is no exception. A woman makes a choice with her will to murder the infant in her womb. Those who encourage her to abort and the medical executioner who performs the abortion also commit the sin of willful homicide because they too choose to. However, the human will is a blind faculty. It cannot choose on its own, but must first be informed by the mind that the abortion is a good thing to do. There must first be a lie in the mind before there can be a crime in the will. What abortionists need first, therefore, is light. Dear God, how they need light for the mind. They must, by God's grace, see that abortion is not a good, but a terrible evil. They must realize that abortion is a crime crying to heaven for vengeance. They must be made to understand that the consequences of abortion are destructive in the extreme. Millions of human beings whom God wants to know, love, and serve Him by being born and reaching maturity are killed to satisfy some whim or emotional fancy. But if they need light for the mind, they also, how they need strength for the will. Their wills must be strengthened by the divine inspirations that come most especially from the sacrifice of the Mass. On both counts, abortionists can be converted only by a deluge of divine graces available from the sacrifice of the Mass. When I talk this way, in the back of my mind are these thoughts. I fear. And those who are hearing me say, beautiful, pious rhetoric, but out of touch with reality.